Morning, church. How's everybody doing on this beautiful morning? It is a beautiful day out there today. And I hope all of you guys are excited to be here to worship God. Because this really is exciting. I mean, we come together as a family every week. And you may think, well, we see each other so much, we'll get tired. I never get tired of the fellowship.
Come on.
Because it's so amazing. I feel like every time I walk into a room of Christians, it is the most encouraging time of my day. And so I really hope you're all excited to be here. It's been a really crazy and exciting week, too. Lots have been going on. We had Trey Katira's wedding shower, and there was part one and part two, and there was all kinds of things. There's been Bible studies going on. Today we got graduations. Katira and Ashley are graduating this Tuesday. Tinia is going to be graduating. So it's just really, really excited to be a part of this family where there's always something going on. And so let's go ahead. Let's start out today with a prayer, and then we'll get started with the lesson. Father, thank you so much for this day, God. Thank you that we can all come here and be family. Thank you, God, that you created each one of us, and you created each one of us with different gifts and different abilities. And Father, when we come into this room, we are here to give to each other, and we have so much to give. And Father, I'm so grateful for the fellowship, so thankful. But more than that, I'm really thankful for you, Jesus. Really thankful that I can have a relationship with you, that you allow me to have a relationship, and you love me so much. And Father, today I pray as we really think about you, Jesus, and think about how much you are really our answer in this life. Father, I pray that we can really connect with you and connect with your words that we read. Father, we pray that today your spirit would just really ignite our hearts. And Father, really help us, God, just to have a great time looking at your word and just a great day of fellowship, God. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for each person in this room who really, so many behind the scenes to make things work and things go on. And Father, just thank you so much for just the serving hearts that we have in this fellowship, God. I love you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So today we're going to talk about Jesus is the answer. And really just, you know, it's been exciting just doing studying out different things about God and just about Jesus and really how awesome he is. And, you know, I remember when I became a Christian a little over 23 years ago, I remember for the first time I had so many questions in life and so many things that needed to be answered. And I remember coming to a Bible study and learning who Jesus was. And I remember as we went through those Bible studies, little by little, he started filling me up. And I began to really realize that he was the answer to really all my questions. And really all my questions were about the emptiness and things that were going on in my life. And he answered them all. And but somewhere along the road, you know, I don't know if anybody can relate, somewhere along the road, I started seeing other things as the answer as well. And, you know, I remember, this was years back, I was working a great job and had a really great, you know, big office and making some money. But I was working around a lot of rich people. And so I'd come to work and I'd see Lamborghinis and Ferraris and Mercedes and all this. And that was the environment that I worked in. And so I'd come there every day and I'm, you know, in the back of my mind, I think, I'm Christian, so I don't need all that stuff. And yet I'm seeing all this stuff and I'm seeing these people with a lot of things. And then somewhere down the road, I had an opportunity to make a little money myself. And I had an opportunity. I did a little investing, and I invested in some real estate. And I remember that feeling like, I'm going to make a lot of money from this. And I started really thinking like, wow, this, you know, and this, I was not in the ministry at this time, and there's just some different things going on that led me to have some like, Maybe I need more than God. Maybe there's something else. And so I invested in this real estate, And here I was probably in my early 30s, and mid-30s. Yeah, I'm pretty old. I bought a piece of paper, really, that says you're going to get this one fourplex condominium here in this city, and then there's another city down the road you're going to buy another one. They're not built yet. And so I'm thinking, wow, I can make a lot of money doing this. And so what happened was the builder started building the buildings, but then he stopped. And I was like, well, you know, when we had a lot of meetings with this guy, I was like, what's going on? Why aren't you building what you're supposed to be doing here? This was an old guy. I think he was really trying to steal all the money is what I believe was happening. And so, but one thing led to another. I walked out about a few months later. I walked out of this deal with six figures in my pocket. And I was thinking, wow, look at this. I dreamed about money. I got a whole bunch of money. I mean, here I was 30-something years. I've never made six figures in my life. And this was, you know, I worked all year at my job, and I didn't make anything near as amount of money as I made on this deal. And so I was like, wow, this is awesome. I can make some good money here. And so what I did, the smart thing, you know, I probably should ask you guys for advice, but I quit my job, and I decided to do this full time. Because I realized that I could make a lot of money. And so when real estate was going good for a while, I started making more money. And it was awesome. And then there was something happening in our economy. And I basically lost everything. But I remember that there was a time in my life where I felt like, wow, if only I could be rich. If only I could have this money. If only I could, you know, I could just be taken care of for the rest of my life. I you know, everything will be fine. You know how you have this imaginary belief that if you just had this, then that equals this. And I thought, well, if I just had this money, and I remember having that money, and I remember that all the stress that came along with it, it really, you know, all my dreams of this money and this thing that I was putting all my effort into really was a big disappointment. Really a disappointment that even today I'm paying for. Because when the real estate market crashed, I really just lost everything. And so I'm confessing my mistakes to you. I remember that feeling of just, I was looking for something. You know, I was a Christian. I didn't stop reading my Bible. I didn't stop going to church. I didn't stop being part of the fellowship. But there was something that I felt like I was needing besides my relationship with God. And I thought, wow, if maybe money is, this could be the answer. Maybe this could make, you know, Jesus got me so filled up, but then I lost a little bit of that fulfillment. And maybe this will fill it up to the top. Is feeling like my life can be taken care of. And so, you know, I'm grateful God worked it all out, and I'm still alive, and I have, you know, not much money, and I'm in a job now where there's not much money. But you know what? God is good. But I learned some very valuable lessons through that time that really there is no other answer to life. There is nothing else that can fulfill me. There is nothing else that I can do. There's nothing I can become other than a disciple of Jesus Christ that will fulfill and answer every question, everything that's lacking in my life. And you know, really, as we go through life, there it is. As we go through life, there's a lot of questions, right? We have a lot of questions. You know, we're at all different parts of life right now. We got college students that are wondering, like, what am I going to do next with my life? You know, we got married people and old, you know, young and old, and we're like, what are we going to do next? I think, you know, somehow we always think, well, I'll get to that place where I'll never wonder that. But I think through life we ask a lot of questions. And really, you know, life has a lot of questions. And some of those questions, the important one are like, you know, what are the meaning of this life? What is the meaning of this life? Yeah. You know, what's really, truly going to make me happy? I'm not talking about the cheesy smile that you can put on. I'm talking about the happiness that's deep down in our heart. You know, what's really going to fill me up? What's really going to give me everything that I need? And what can I really trust? You know, trust is a big thing in this world because we live in a world where it's really hard to trust a lot of people. But God is the one who really is the one we can trust. And so we're going to look at a story today about Jesus being the answer. And so turn your Bibles over to Luke chapter 19. If I can get this thing to switch. There it goes. Okay, Luke chapter 19. It's an incredible story. In fact, Luke is the only place this story is mentioned. It's not in any of the other Gospels. But I really love this story. And this is the story of Zacchaeus. And so Luke chapter 19, in verse 1, it says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. And this is an amazing story about this little guy named Zacchaeus. And some of the things we know about him, Zacchaeus was from the Greek. The word Zacchaeus is from the Greek form of the Hebrew name Zacchai, which means pure and righteous one. Now, I'm assuming that was a prophecy of what would happen to him after he met Jesus. But that's what his name meant. And he was a chief tax collector. And what a chief tax collector was, he was sort of like a district tax collector. Now, it is thought that he possibly bought a franchise from the Roman Empire, Roman government, and he had many people working under him. So he was not just a tax collector, but he was the tax collector that was over all the other tax collectors. So this was a very important guy. He had a very high up kind of a job because he had a lot of responsibilities, and he was also making a lot of money. See, the tax collectors, they made a percentage of what was collected. So if I made this amount, the tax collector made this amount of money, he would make a percentage of that. So you can imagine how that would lead into all kinds of corrupt things happening between these tax collectors, because they're in their mind, they're thinking, if you know, there's Mike, if I can just get more money out of Mike, if I could find something that he needs to pay for, then I'm going to get even richer. And if I can do the same thing with each one of you guys, I would be so rich. And that's where a lot of the people really did not like the tax collectors. And on top of it, the city Jericho, where they were at, was a very wealthy city. So this was not like collecting tax from a bunch of poor people. They were collecting taxes from the extremely rich at that time. And so you think about it, if the tax collectors were all known to be rich, if the tax collectors were rich, how rich do you think Zacchaeus was? He was rolling in the dough. or coins or whatever they used back then. But he was very, very, very rich. And, you know, a lot of it was done like in the kind of, they're kind of like the mafia in some way. They used intimidation to get what they wanted because they knew that the more that they could push the money from getting out of your pocket into their pockets, the more money that they would make. And so that's what we know from the scripture about Zacchaeus. And then it says in, skip one. You ready to put that on there? But in verse 3, it says, he just wanted to see who Jesus was. So here was this guy, he was filthy rich. But there was something in this guy that said, you know, I really want to just see that person Jesus who I heard about. Now we can gather from this statement here that he just wanted to see who Jesus was. That he probably had never seen Jesus before this time. This was the first time that he had seen him. But he probably heard stories about how Jesus was changing lives. Probably hearing stories about how Jesus was filling people up and giving them hope and giving them dreams and healing people. And he had probably heard this rumor throughout the town. And he realized that this was something that he didn't have in his life. And he wanted to find something. He wanted to find him. He realized that there was something missing in his life. And you know, working in that building with all those Lamborghinis and stuff, it was amazing. I mean, I talked to so many people after a while in there that I realized that most of these people weren't that happy.
That's right.
Most of these people that had all this money were really living lives that were just, they didn't have relationships. I mean, I talked to one guy, he says, I'm never home, I travel all over the world, and I'm never with my wife, and my family's struggling because of it. And I'm thinking, but look at the car he's driving. The car doesn't look like the life he's really living that's going on in his heart. And, you know, and I think Zacchaeus knew that. He knew that his life was not, there was something that was just missing in his life. Zacchaeus knew that he needed an answer. And he had heard these things about Jesus. And I think he was starting to realize that really, Jesus is the answer to life. Jesus is the answer to life. You know, he climbed up. When he realized this, he said, I'm going to climb up this tree. Now, the sycamore fig trees, those are some big trees. If you've ever seen one, they're huge. The base of them is just gigantic. And this was a little man, but he was known throughout the town as this guy who was like a mafia. And he was trying to pull people and get their money. And now he was willing to climb up this tree and risk everything. I mean, you think of the implications. Who would be scared of him anymore? Who would be afraid of him anymore? If he stayed in the business that he was doing, could he be an effective tax collector if everybody saw him as this little guy that just was kind of like climbed up a tree because he needed something that he didn't have? He was willing to risk everything in order to find the answers to what was going on in his life. Right. Now you think of what might have been some of the things that were going on in his life. It doesn't really say, but we can kind of gather some things that were going on. I would imagine a man like Zacchaeus was a very empty man. You know, he had a lot of money, but money, as you know, as we all know this, money can't buy everything. Money can't buy friends. Money can't buy family. Money can't buy so much. So we can imagine that this was a very empty man. And I would also gather that he was probably a pretty lonely man. Because you think about it, if you're the guy that goes around town, and you're not just the guy that goes around town, but you're in charge of all the guys that go around and stealing people's money. How many friends do you think you're really going to have? You know, this man probably didn't have any friends. And no true friends. He probably had people that were trying to become his friends so that they could get his money. But I really doubt that he had true, genuine friends that really cared about him. And I would also think that he probably lived a life full of regret. I mean, imagine going out into the city and seeing, oh, there's that guy Ken, I took his money. You know, I took Rob's money, he was rich, you know, he can't afford those nice clothes anymore because I took his money. I mean, he must have lived a life full of regret. And I bet you his conscience, it bothered him probably all the time. But to everybody else, I mean, all they saw was his richness, and that's probably all he portrayed to everybody. But what was going on deep in his heart was something that was probably so much different. Because we know that he was searching for something. He was searching to get his answers. He wanted the answers to the questions that he had in his life. You know, money, career, status, none of these things, none of them fulfill Zacchaeus. You know, over the years, I've seen so many people, including myself, you heard my story. I've seen so many people, even Christians, that have that, you know, they became Christians. They made Jesus the Lord of their life. And they said, well, you know, I'm going to do everything for you. The rest of my life is all about God because he is the only answer. And then as life goes by, we start looking, just like I did. I started looking at the world. I started looking at the things around me. And we start pouring ourselves into our work. We start pouring ourselves into making money. And, you know, over the years, I've never seen anybody be happier because they've done that. I can't think of a one. I've been a Christian for a long time. I've seen a lot of people do this. And I can't think of one person over the years who has become happier because they poured themselves into their job and poured themselves into making money over getting their answers all coming from Jesus. I've never seen one. And a lot of times we have this thing where we say, well, we get good at even putting up the excuses. Well, you know, I got to pay my bills. That's why I have to work a million hours overtime. That's why I have to make $1 million because I got to make bills. You know, what's funny, I never hear a lot of people say, well, you know, I just think I need to downsize so I don't have to work more. I never hear that. They always say, I got to work more so I can keep up with all the bills that I have. And I just never seen anybody happy by pouring themselves into that above God. And this is something we got to make sure because all of, you know, many of us here, we've made Jesus the Lord of our life. And, you know, it's important that just like when I was a young Christian, just like when I came out of the waters of baptism, when I felt like Jesus was the answer to everything, I've got to have that same thing going on today. He's got to be the answer to my everything, every single day of my life. Every single day. You know, I don't know what questions are coming, maybe popping back up in your life. Maybe you're here visiting today, and maybe you're thinking, I just have so many questions about life. I have so many questions. What's the meaning? What's really going to make me happy? Why am I going to school? You know, maybe you're a Christian, and you just had opportunities. You've seen different things, And maybe part of the world is kind of making you still feel that. Like, maybe there are other great things that I need to search after besides God. And again, don't take me wrong. I'm not saying don't work, don't have a job. That wouldn't be good either. But I think it's a matter of what we see as the answer for our life. What do you see today as being your answer? You know, and the cool thing about Jesus, when we read the Bible, we see that Jesus is the answer to many things. He's the answer to being happy. He's the answer to having joy in our life. He's the answer to having just a contentment, having peace, having, you know, just having great friendships and great relationships. He is the answer to so many things. Maybe some of us are going, I know there's been losses in family. And I just want to tell you today that Jesus is the answer to all of these things. Amen. Jesus is the answer to the things you're happy about. Jesus is the answer to the things that we're sad about. He's the answer, amen, in our life. You know, and Zacchaeus knew that. You know, and what he did, there he is. That's a real photo from then. I dug it up. He actually looks tall in this picture, so I'm not sure. He might have grew a little bit here. But Zacchaeus, he saw that because Jesus was his answer, he was going to do everything to put himself in the right place to see him. Because you can imagine, with all these tall guys over here, you know, Zacchaeus was probably like, you know, I want to see. Because he was searching for that answer. And when he couldn't see over the crowd, he decided that he was going to do anything that it took. He was going to be willing to give up his reputation. He was going to be willing to give up maybe even his career by this move. But he knew that he had to put himself in a place where Jesus was at his focus. Where Jesus was at his focus. And really, when you think about the Christian life, for those of us that are Christians and claim to be Christians, this is exactly where our life should be. We should be looking straight at Jesus. He should be the one that's the number one answer to everything in our life. And you know, I don't know if that always happens though, because when life goes on, sometimes we end up like this. Sometimes our life looks more like this, where we're looking for all these answers, and all these things are good. Again, I don't want any of you guys to not have a job, because then you'll be asking me for money. So I don't think that's a good thing. I don't think when we see school up there, I don't want any of you guys to quit school. In fact, I think school is awesome. I went to school. I graduated from college. I really, really want you to get a degree. You know, family and friends, that's a great thing, right? Yeah. I don't want any of you guys saying, well, I just need to get rid of my... That's not the point. But the point is what do we look at for the answers in our life? And I think sometimes some of these things can so easily become the answers in our life. You know, we go to work, we start making the money, and we got the pursuit of money down there. And we start thinking, well, I just need to put this first. And then, you know, school and graduation. I can't tell you, there's so many people that are graduating this week in Auburn and Tuskegee and all the other colleges, and they really believe that the piece of paper is going to be their happiness in life. That is just the most false lie that there is. It will help you get a good job. Please hear me the right way. You need to get that. But it is not the answer to having a great life. Family and friends are incredible. We need them. But they're not the answer to true happiness. You know, and sometimes when we have all those things in front of our relationship with Jesus, Jesus is off to the side and he's nowhere in our view. We can't. He's just like Zacchaeus in that crowd. You know, he's looking over. And sometimes that's the way our relationship with Jesus is. We're trying to look over all the things that are going on in our life. And we say, well, I'm just too busy to put God first. But sometimes that's the problem. We've made our life too busy. And we don't see Jesus anymore. He's not at the front of everything. He's not the answer anymore. And really, what we've got to do as Christians, and I think this is something we've got to do as Christians all the time, because I think sometimes we think, well, I did it when I became a Christian. I positioned my life in the right place when I became a Christian, so everything's good after that. But I'll tell you, life goes on. And sometimes there's different opportunities and different reasons why we have to go after different things. But at the end of the day, this is the way. Okay, we need a new clicker. There it is. This is the way it should look. That we should have an eyesight of Jesus. He should be what we're looking at. He should be where we get all of our answers. You know, when we need to be comforted, we go to Jesus first for our comforting. When we want to be happy, when we want to be joyful, when we want to, you know, we want to be good spouses, when we want to be whatever, Jesus holds all the answers. And somehow when you do that, all these things work out now.
Yeah. That's right.
They work on out. I don't know how it always works, but I know that when I put Jesus first in my life, and when I put him in view, and I reposition my life, yeah. You know, we can't be where we were. We can't be with all these things in front. We've got to make decisions all the time to reposition our life, to put Jesus into the main view. You know, in verse 4, it says, when Zacchaeus, it says that he ran ahead and he climbed the sycamore tree. He ran ahead and he climbed the sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. You know, it says here that he ran. He was willing to do whatever it took to reposition his life so that Jesus was the answer. He repositioned his life so that Jesus would be the answer. We've got to do the same thing. We've got to reposition your life to find the answer. You know, if you think about it, what are the things in your life that have maybe caused you a little bit not to see Jesus as plainly as you did on the day that you were baptized? You know, we got to really think about that. Because once we take Jesus out of the main sight, then it just gets crowded. And life is complicated. And if we don't start doing that now, what happens with life is it just gets more complicated and more complicated and more complicated. And before you know it, Jesus is kind of in the back of everything else that we have going on in our life. And so we've got to reposition our life to make Jesus the answer. He's the answer. You know, and if he is the answer, he's got to be worth fighting for. You know, again, Zacchaeus, he ran. He did what he, in front of all these people, it didn't matter if he looked like a fool. He did not care. Because his only concern was to get his relationship with Jesus right. His only concern was that all of his questions would be answered. You know, he could have said, I'm too busy, I'm too important, I'm too rich. But that was not what he said. He could have tried to even buy this. He could have said, well, there's Jesus. I'll just, you know, there's got to be somebody here I can just pay to get the same thing. His money couldn't do it. Right. And it's got to be the same thing in our life. We've got to be going after Jesus more than anything else.
Amen.
We've got to be going. I remember when I first became a Christian and I started learning how to pray. I just went out and prayed and prayed and I tried to read. I wasn't a good reader, but I forced myself to read because I just wanted to know. And I was willing to change everything in my life. You know, it kind of reminds me, and you don't have to turn, you can just look at the scripture here. In Psalm 63, it says, you, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land, where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest foods, with singing lips, my mouth will praise you. You know, and I want to ask you today, I want you to think back to when you first came in contact with Jesus. I want you to remember how excited you were that you finally found the answer. You finally found him. And remember that feeling like you were probably like me. You were just ready to do anything that it took. I'll do anything to have my relationship with Jesus. I'll do anything to feel fulfilled. I'll do anything to have this happiness and all these things that I was searching for in my life. I want you to think about that then. And I want you to ask yourself, is that how you're living your life today? Are you living your life in search of Jesus? Or did he just get to the background of all the other things in our life? You know, we've got to make sure that we reposition our lives, whatever it takes. You know, I was just talking about some of this the other day. I mean, really, our life is very short. You think about it. I'm going to be, next month I turn 46 years old. And for many of you, that seems like an ancient old guy.
No.
Not that old. Not that old. Okay, good. But I remember when I was in college, I thought, boy, these old people, I'll never get there. And it just feels like a couple years ago, I was in high school, and I'm thinking, well, you know, a couple years, I got a long time in my life. You know, I got a long time to really search after God. But really, when you think about it, our life is short. And when you go, like my mom, she's older now, and she's very sick right now, but she was hanging around with the senior citizen group at this club. And you know, the thing is, when you go to a seniors group, you can't really tell the difference between who was the lawyer and who was the janitor. Everybody all kind of looks the same. And I think so much, we spend so much of our life going after these other things in life, and we forget that really the only thing that makes sense in this very short life that we have is that we put Jesus first in our life, and that he becomes the answer to everything. He becomes the answer to everything. We got to reposition ourselves. In verse 5 it says, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house." See, Jesus saw, probably over all the other guys there who probably thought they had the answer, they saw this guy who was the most hated guy in town, but he was the one who was willing to do anything to put Jesus in the number one spot and make him the answer. You know, what answer did he have for Zacchaeus? He probably answered him with a lot of grace. Probably answered his loneliness. Probably gave him a real purpose in his life. He never had that stuff before. You know, the people said, well, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. Well, they probably thought, well, why didn't he come in my house? Why is he going with this guy Zacchaeus? And that's the amazing thing about Jesus. Jesus doesn't look at how good or bad looking you are. He doesn't look at how much money you have in your bank account. He doesn't look at what kind of car you have or how big your house is. But what he looks at, just like he did with Zacchaeus, was he looked at the heart. And we got to make sure that when Jesus looks at us, he sees our heart. How did he respond? It says that, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give back half my possessions to the poor. And if I cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." If you do the math on that, that would probably make Zacchaeus just about broke. Because he's giving back half, then he's giving back four times the amount. I mean, he's giving a lot of money away. And I think about, why was Zacchaeus able to do this? He probably had never given a dollar to anybody his whole life. But for the first time, I believe he no longer needed the money. Because before, that was his answer. But it was a very false answer in his life. But for the first time, the money, it was not the answer. And he saw Jesus. He didn't need the money. And so he freely was able to give. He wasn't holding on to it because it wasn't the important thing in his life any longer. You know, in your life today, is Jesus your answer? Is he really your answer? I mean, we hear that statement a lot. Jesus is the answer. We can go, yeah, he is. But I really want you to think about in your life today, is he the answer to everything in your life? And if he's not, are you today willing and ready to reposition your life to put him back in the front seat? We've got to do that. Jesus is the answer. I'm grateful for this church. I'm grateful to be a part of this fellowship. But I want to remind us that everything that we have, the great things, even going to the party last night and being in the fellowship, sometimes we can start to take for granted what we have. And we got to remember that none of this would be possible, that my salvation is not possible. None of it is possible without Jesus being the answer in our life. Amen.
Amen. Amen.